This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
Something is happening. Everything's different, but everything is fine. Yeah. And this is the good stuff. And yesterday's only what you leave behind. It's only in your mind. You gotta talk to the one who made you. Talk to the one who understands. Talk to the one who gave you all the light in your eyes. All the light in your eyes. No use pretending you never existed until you saw the light. Yeah. You're just beginning. You haven't missed it. It's all ahead of you. And you know what to do. You gotta talk to the one who made you. Talk to the one who understands. Talk to the one who gave you all the light in your eyes. All the light in your eyes. Here comes the world, and she is beautifully mysterious. She's got it all, and you say, give it to me. Nobody's happy. That's not the world I knew inside. Everybody hides. You've got to talk to the one who made you. Talk to the one who understands. Talk to the one who gave you all the light in your eyes. You've got to talk to the one who loves you. Talk to the one who understands.
Good morning, and welcome to Seattle Unity's online Sunday service. My name is Reverend Karen Lindvig, and I want to thank you for joining us and for being with us today. I want to begin by sharing our vision statement, which states, we are an accessible and inclusive spiritual sanctuary for all ages and stages of life. We offer spiritual practices and a community that honors diversity and encourages self-empowerment. We co-create a world that works for all. May it be so. And so now I invite you to join me as we affirm our opening statement. And as we do so, we'll take a moment to bless everyone who is in need of being blessed right now. There is but one presence and one power in my life and in the universe. God the good, omnipotence. And I invite you to breathe in this awareness with me right now. And as you exhale, I invite you to send out your blessings, your prayers, your good thoughts to all who are in need right now. And it is for this awareness and in the name and through the power of the living spirit of truth that we do say thank you and amen.
I feel the spirit moving in me.
I feel the love.
I feel the love.
Hello, my name is Dana Cole, and I am a prayer chaplain here at Seattle Unity. I've been a member of the community for at least 20 plus years, and I practice yoga and Qigong. Qigong is a moving meditation that energizes the body and calms the mind. It's called the art of effortless power, and it mirrors the movements of nature. And here we are in Kubota Gardens in Seattle with all of this chi energy that we can access and flow with today. Qi is your body's life force energy that circulates through the body and cultivates health, vitality, emotional balance, and a feeling of being connected with all the energy around us. Qigong is the skill at working with this life force energy. So for thousands of years, Qigong has been used as a form of medicine and a practice to connect with our inner essence. The movements are simple. Anyone can do it anywhere. And I invite you to join me in a short Qigong routine to activate healing qi energy and to quiet your mind. This routine you can do from a chair, seated position, or standing. Stand with your feet a little more than hip distance apart. And to get the qi to circulate and flow, let's start by gently shaking. Relax the wrists, elbows, and shoulders. Bounce your legs and your heels. Shaking opens the energy in the body. You can't be anxious and stressed and shake at the same time. Inhale through the nose and exhale through the mouth. The breath calms the mind and the nervous system. When we focus on breath and breathe deeply, we become more present. Slow it down. Come to resting. Hands by your side. How does your body feel? Feel the electricity. Qi flowing through you. This next movement is called knocking on the door of life. Take that same stance, hip width apart, bend the knees. Now turn from the waist and hips. Relax your shoulders, neck, and upper back. The hands are gently knocking across the lower abdomen and across the lower back. This stimulates pressure points for energy and vitality. Take a deep breath and let the energy flow through the body. Movement opens all the joints and transforms stress back into vital force energy. One more deep breath. Start to slow the movement and come to stillness with your hands at your sides. Notice how you feel. Can you feel the chi electricity moving down your arms and into your hands? The next movement is called water waves. This movement will deeply relax and calm the mind. So it's the same movement from the hips and the waist. Now the arms aren't knocking, they're just floating in the air. Feel as though the fingers are just gliding through the surface of the water. Feel the air moving through the fingers. Moving the hands symbolizes pushing away mental stress, clearing our problems, clearing worries, and getting the mind focused and clear. Breath is deep. Exhale all the way out with a sense of letting go. Letting go of stress in the mind, letting go of worries, challenges. Feel your mind open to the sky, open to what's possible. Take a deep breath. Slow the movement down. Relax. Feel a sense of energy moving through you and tranquility in your mind. The next movement opens the meridians, the energy pathways in the neck, the shoulders, and the upper back. It's called spreading the feathers. Push hands and arms out to the side, shoulder height, finger spread. Slowly roll the head to one side, ear towards the shoulder, and breathe. Feel the stretch to the neck and shoulders, all the way down the arm to the fingertips and the breath. And breathe. Slowly roll the head to the other side and open from the cranial base all the way down the arm to the hands. When we stretch, the energy opens. Take another breath here. And lower the hands. Feel the energy inside. This last movement will allow us to feel a sense of integration, balancing, and harmony. Float the hands and arms up the front of the body and out the sides. Inhale, coming up. And exhale, moving out and down. Your spine moves like a wave in the ocean, undulating. The spine rolls up, and energy goes out through the arms and hands. Let your body flow like water with fluidity and grace. Feel your whole body participate in the movement with effortless ease. The body moves like water. Relax into the flow. Water moves with effortless power. flow movements, let everything slow down and settle, and we drop in to the present moment. Take another breath in and exhale out. Slow the movement down. And bring the hands over your lower abdomen. Feel the energy contained. Feel your mind relaxed and your body recharged. Feel a sense of equilibrium and unity. Take that feeling with you.
Remember the images from cartoons and maybe even some movies where there was an angel on your shoulder and then a devil on the other one? And the devil is usually depicted as encouraging you to do something you probably shouldn't do, where the angel is your voice of the conscience, you know, calling you to a higher place. So like the devil on the shoulder could be like, go ahead, eat that last piece of cake. It doesn't matter. You'll be fine. You deserve it. Where the angel on the shoulder may be saying, are you sure you want to do that? I mean, didn't you already have like two pieces already? Or maybe the devil on the shoulder may be saying, hey, you know, your car is getting kind of old. Maybe you should get a new one. It's about time for that. Where the angel's like, yeah, but you just paid off your last car. I mean, you get the idea. So we've seen this. It's almost like part of our myth. Well, the devil is seen as impulsive and loud, and the angel's kind of quiet and takes her time. So Marla Irving said about the angel and the devil on your shoulder, she said, think about who's observing them. It is you who is in the middle, in the space in between, who are the observer. You get to decide which one to listen to. So while the ego is very aggressive and screams loudly that you should go with it and fills you with fears of lack and scarcity, the spirit is quiet and patient and waits for you to come to it and only wants what's good for you because it knows of nothing else but abundance and well-being. So one way that we can look at the devil is to see it as the ego. Now, the most common way that the ego is defined or identifies itself is through our possessions, our status, our job description, our education, our physical appearance, relationships, our nationality, our race, our religion, our gender. The truth is, all of that can help define us and can help strengthen the ego, if you will, but it's not really you. Not really. Emily Cady said, I am spirit, perfect, holy, and harmonious. That's who you really are. You are spirit, perfect, holy, and harmonious. She said, God is spirit, or the creative energy that is the cause of all visible things. There could be no body, no visible part to anything unless there were first spirit or creative cause. So this is the truth of who we are. The rest is just kind of our outer appearance. So if we are spiritual beings, then why do we let the ego take over? Well, in Buddhism, it's referred to as ego clinging. And we cling to the ego because the world's always changing. Everything's always in flux. And it gives us something to hold on to. But what we really need to hold on to is God. What we really need to hold on to is spirit. What we really need to hold on to is the eternal one and that space that's in between. That's what's real. So when we think of ego, we may think of vanity or a sense of self-importance, right? Like, boy, cheer, he has a really big ego. But the ego can also show up as feelings of inferiority and self-hatred. And when the voice in your head or the devil on your shoulder is telling you how stupid or worthless you are, well, guess what? That's as much the ego as the one that says, boy, you're better than everybody. And this is where mindfulness meditation can step in and help break the chain, right? Help ease the pain. Now, another way to look at the ego is that it is a protective shell. And we think of animals, a turtle has a protective shell. Bugs, most bugs have protective shells, like beetles, you know, and cockroaches. And you think about crabs or lobsters, you know, so there's this shell that kind of protects them. But Eckhart Tolle said, this protective shell works like armor, just like it does with a bug or a turtle. It works like armor to cut you off from other people and the outside world. Here's me, and there's the rest of the universe and other people. So what's interesting is that we're seeing an extreme visual of how people are showing up today with body armor, right? Whether it's the police or protesters, it's like everybody's got body armor now. And this feeling of otherness, this feeling of separation, I believe is intensified right now because we're not coming together in community in ways that we had before COVID. We're not coming together in worship, in singing, in dancing, in cheering for our team, right? I mean, these are ways that sort of helped us remove the boundaries that exist between our each other so that we could feel our oneness. The only way we're seeming to come together now is in protest, or, you know, we're seeing riots and things. And so it's kind of an acting out of the pain body. Okay, so that leads us to the next thing, the pain body. What is the pain body? It was coined, it's a term coined by Eckhart Tolle. And I want to share his wisdom with you, because he said, the voice in your head tells a story that the body believes in and reacts to. And these reactions are emotions. And the emotions, in turn, feed energy back to the thoughts that created the emotions in the first place. So you got a loop. You got a loop that's going. And this is the vicious circle between unexamined thoughts and emotions, giving rise to emotional thinking and emotional story making. So an example, it's a simple example, is you're waiting in line, right? You're at the grocery store, you're waiting in line. Well, what's happening? The experience is you're waiting in line. But what do you tell yourself about waiting in line? You know, do you think they're doing that on purpose, or they're taking too long, or I got in the wrong line, I should have been in that line over there? I do that one a lot. So it's a story, and the truth is, we're just waiting in line. But how many emotions can be stirred up just in waiting in line? Or you call somebody, or you email somebody and they don't call you back. And then a whole story gets created around what happened, right? Why did that happen? And again, the thought triggers the emotion goes back to the thought, and then we're caught in this cycle. Now, the pain body is when a negative emotion takes over that is toxic to the body and its balance and its functioning. Tolle said, once, and this is interesting to me, once the unhappiness has taken you over, not only do you want, you don't want to end it. Not only do you not want to end it, but you want to make others just as miserable as you are in order to feed on their negative emotional reaction. You ever done this? You ever been in this kind of a loop? We've all done it, right? So the voice in your head, or the devil on your shoulder, will be telling you sad, anxious, or angry stories about yourself or your life, about other people, about the past. And the thing is, you start to believe these distorted thoughts. And that is what Eckhart Tolle says, that is when the addiction to unhappiness sets in. And when the pain body arises, this raw emotion is looking out from your eyes into the world and is looking for a feedback of pain. Who can give me more pain? It can inflict pain so that it can experience a dramatic, painful response. I think this is what's happening in our world today. Everybody's pain body is out of control. There's this addiction, if you will, to unhappiness that is spreading, right? Now, here's the thing. The ego will do whatever it can to prevent you from being present and identifying with your true self. So what do we do? Well, Eckhart Tolle and other teachers such as Zen masters would say, witness it. What if you used a negative emotion as your spiritual practice? So Brian Thompson, he said, it's only the imagined self who can become offended by another person's words. Do not be stirred by the swelling of any emotions that tempt your retaliation, your sarcastic retort, or your spiteful reply. Mindfully observe the storm of thought that swirls within you. React not. Silence your serpentine tongue and observe your mind's egoic activity with curious attention. So, it's a witnessing. It's a witnessing to what we're feeling. It's not that we don't feel it. It's not that we try to avoid it, because boy, we've done that, right? What do we do when we avoid negative emotions? We eat, we sleep, we drink, we play computer games. You know, the list is endless. And the thing is, the only way through a painful emotion, the pain body, is to go through it. Now, many have had trauma of negative feelings, emotions of things that have happened to them, and the pain body is being triggered, right? So these past events, these past emotions are coming forward again. Mostly we want to distract or we want to move out, but our teachers are telling us that we call it in and that we feel it. Remember the 90-second rule, right? That an emotion stays with us for 90 seconds if we don't avoid it, and we don't attach a story to it. We don't get caught in that loop where it's the thought, the emotion, the thought, and it goes rah, rah, rah. But it's rather feeling the emotion, breathing it, whether it's fear or anger or happiness or sadness or fury. Just let it move through the body and witness it and go, okay, I'm angry. I'm sad. Whatever it is, invite it in. This is how we heal. This is how we unhook from the ego, the devil on the shoulders, control. Kim Eng said, take the image of a flute, right? You blow into the flute, you play beautiful music. Now imagine that the flute is filled with stones. And what happens when you try to play the flute? Well, nothing is going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. And so in a way, stones are the negative thoughts and emotions that are clogging up the space. And in order to play, the stones need to be released and removed. So the truth is, you are not the stones. You are the space within the flute. And yet, how can spirit or God play through us, if you will, if it's all clogged up, if we can't be clear channels, if you will? So the only way out is through, not through distraction, but to call it in. And the thing is, every time that we recognize that a negative emotion is taken over, when we recognize it and we witness it, it loses its power. Where do you feel it in your body? So these are important practices for us right now, especially because of COVID, where we're in isolation or with very few people, and we're not able to join in with large crowds and dance or sing or worship or cheer. We're not able to do those uplifting things that who knows, maybe it helped keep society in place, you know? So the only way out is through it, is to feel it. And the more that we can go through it, then perhaps we are no longer triggered by another person or an event or waiting in line or whatever it is. We're not triggered by it anymore. And I imagine that this is the consciousness that Jesus had, that he was able to see through people's pain bodies and into their souls and their hearts and bring them and emit peace. That's our job right now. I think this is what we're really being called to. Robert Gresick said, release now the shackles of ego. Release precious soul and get up and go. Reach up higher. Reach out further and grasp that which is even closer than breathing, closer than seeing. It is your very own high spirit self. So you may have an angel and a devil on your shoulder, but you are the space in between. You choose who to listen to. The devil, who is loud and fills you with fear, or the angel, who is quiet and patient and fills you with peace. It's time for humanity to awaken. it's time for humanity to do the work that our teachers, like Buddha and Jesus, Krishna, all of these teachers who have come before us to clear the way and to show us not only the way, but to give us practices that we can use to carry us through, not only carry us through, but to heal during these extremely difficult times. So I say this almost every time I speak, but what is your spiritual practice that disengages you from the ego and the pain body where you can have that space? Is it mindful meditation? Is it yoga? Is it Tai Chi? Is it walking in nature? These are the things that we need to keep incorporating. I was in Port Townsend last week just for 4 days of being quiet. And every day, 2 or 3 times a day, I'd get up and just walk along the beach, walk, walk, walk. And I found this great feeling of space and openness just opening inside of me and just kind of letting everything fall away. That's what we're called to do. So in our closing prayer, we have a devil and an angel on the shoulder. We are the space that is in between. We are the space that is in the flute. For you are spirit, immortal, indestructible, holy, and harmonious. May we live in a consciousness of this truth, just as Jesus did, just as Buddha did. And may we see with the eyes of the Spirit. And it is so. Amen.
My name is Mary Kemp.
And I'm Alexander. I've been a member of Seattle Unity my whole entire life. We come to that time in our service where we practice the law of giving and receiving through generosity. We are grateful for your continued support of Seattle Unity.
You can give by text using the number on the screen or on our website at seattleunity.org. Check out our easy recurring giving feature. However you give, I invite you to hold your gift in your heart as we affirm together. I give willingly, joyfully, and lovingly. Knowing that God is the constant source of my supply, I give with graciousness and receive with gratitude. We dedicate and consecrate these gifts to the will, the work, and the way of the living Spirit of Truth. May each gift return to the giver a millionfold.
Amen.
Now I invite you to join in with our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us.
I am light.
The love of God enfolds us.
I am love.
The power of God protects us.
I am power.
The presence of God watches over us.
I am presence.
Wherever we are,
God is, and all is well.
And that's the truth.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys. Shine.